Thank you, Barbara, and good afternoon, brethren. I have to tell you a story. Mr. Melvin Rose is a minister of God. He used to be in our church. He's now with United Church of God. He was a minister in Ghana in the mid-60s, 70s. And one day he told us at a club why he had to go to Ivory Coast or Togo for his essential commodities. Because in Ghana at that time, people had to queue like they are doing in Venezuela. You virtually had to queue for everything because of price controls. So Mr. Melvin Rose told us at a club meeting, "Do you know how I feel as a stranger, as a white man in a black country? If I should decide to join any of the queues, they may stone me. But you think every white man is rich, so they will not even allow me in the queue. That's why I have to travel so far for my provisions." Not quite long, about 40 years, it's exactly 40 years, 76, I also traveled with a dignitary to Europe. And one day I found myself in the capital of Bern, Switzerland. The capital of Switzerland, Bern. And the lady I was with went to the boutique to look for dresses while I stood outside. It was a small shop in the square. For the next 2 hours, I saw no black face. And I felt very vulnerable. Brethren, in this life, there is time for everything. See, sometimes you feel fear, you feel uncertain, you may not be well or you have other problems. But I tell you, you are not alone. Every human being, once in a while, feel very uncertain about life itself. As we face struggles and trials and sufferings, we sometimes can't imagine whether any good will come out of it. Think of the Christians in Iraq and Syria, and even in Egypt and other places. Some are fleeing for their lives. Others have become refugees, and some have lost all they have, their worldly possessions. Even some have drowned in the Mediterranean Sea, and they have left children behind. The greatest Christians of history seem to say that their sufferings brought them closer to God. Turn with me to the second book of Timothy and chapter 4. Timothy 4, reading from verse 7. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance." We live in a temporary world. Sometimes we have problems. Sometimes we experience difficulties. But they are all fleeting compared to what the future holds for us in the kingdom of God. We should aim at the crown that will never perish, which the righteous one will award us when he returns. Remember Christ. Christ himself, when he was arrested, condemned to death, and crucified, his disciples couldn't see how anything good would come out of it. But see what happened. We are all witnesses. If he had not died, how could our sins be forgiven? We may not see things as God sees, But God is all knowledgeable. He knows everything. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 to 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. There is time for everything. Most of us are not sure what tomorrow, I mean tomorrow as tomorrow, not the future holds. Brethren, the world we live in today, there is fear, uncertainty, and deep suspicion everywhere in this country. Brexit. The Brexit saga has given us a lot to worry about. It's divided the nation. Some prefer to be in, others to be out of Europe. Others in other nations, especially the Western countries, also experiences divisions, extreme right-wing politics, political parties that preach hatred and fear in Germany, in Austria, in the Netherlands, to mention only a few. France and other countries also have all these parties that are gaining grounds. Since Donald Trump won the U.S. presidential election, many right-wingers and ultra-right-wingers believe this is their time to bring change to their countries. Marie Le Pen of France's far-right party said about 3 days ago that what seemed impossible a while ago has been made possible by Donald Trump's U.S. presidential win. Oh yes, the impossible is now possible. It is believed that if presidential elections was held in France today, opinion polls show that Marine Le Pen will be the president-elect. Populism and anti-establishment movements in especially the Western world is on the rise. I'm speaking as a member of the minority in this country. In such a climate, there is the fear factor for many of us, even including some politicians, because no one is sure what tomorrow will bring. People in this country and some others who are affected, we worry about the ultra-right wing political parties. We worry about the violence and attacks. Recently, the Jews in certain parts of this city complained that there have been so many attacks on them, swastikas dumped on their doors and all that. It makes people afraid. Other minorities, including some of the Muslims, are fearful. Violence is on the rise, even in Britain. The police can tell you. The reason for right-wingers seems to be that they have a point. Lack of jobs for them, lack of economic growth, fear of unchecked immigration into the country, many asylum seekers, the fear of strangers, fear of terrorists, fear of changing in their culture and traditions in their areas. These can cause attacks and other violent behavior on people. Brethren, in this world, and in every country on this planet, it is true, there are lawlessness, envy, ill temper, selfishness, ill nature, unkindness, pride. They are all natural to us humans. It looks like we don't have answers to all these. Brethren, in this climate of fear, uncertainty, and political upheavals, also wars and conflicts, like what is happening right now in Aleppo, where hospitals are being bombed. Where is our God? Where is God in all this? God is unknowable. Where is he when all these things are happening? Uncertainty, fear, violence, death and destruction. People running from their countries to seek refuge where they are not accepted. Where is our God? Well, according to Scripture, Christ is in his Father and we are in Christ. So wherever we are, God is there. He is suffering with us. He has never abandoned us. He is unknowable. In fact, he knows everything. But you could see, no human government or establishment lasts forever. Take President Obama of USA. 8 years ago, he came to power and he was still the strongest man in the world. Now he is gray. He has less than 62 days to go. And I'm not sure whether people will remember him in a decade or two's time. Human government, human power, they don't last, but they pass on. I was listening to the news, and they were interviewing Duterte, so I've forgotten his name, the Philippines president. Duterte. Okay. Here is a man who said he has a duty. Extrajudicial killing. He passed the 4,000 mark, shooting criminals and drug dealers and addicts. It's horror. Even most policemen can't believe their eyes. Every night about 20, 30 people killed. And he said one thing after all the interview, which was very interesting. He said to the reporter, "Look, I'm about 71 years old. And do you know the earth we live on has been there for the past 500 billion years? I'm only 71. And soon my work will be ended. And in 100 or 200 years, nobody will remember me." He's the president. He has the power to kill. But he knows that he has very limited time. And after his time is ended, the world will be there. We are looking forward not to a short-term reign. We are looking forward to something everlasting. And that is where we should aim at. We don't have to rely too much on today and what is happening, what is going to happen. We have to look forward to the time of Christ, which is permanent and glorious. So, God is still here. God is blessed. The whole universe is his story. And he knows what is happening to you and me. We should not entertain fear permanently. We should trust in him. Turn with me to the book of Timothy. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 5, 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Now, verses 12 to 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, Paul speaking. I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. If you are here today, brethren, know that Christ has called you. And if you have faith in him, your sins have been forgiven. He has called you. Trust him, and his works in you, he will surely complete it. There is no need to fear. There is a need to trust him. John 17, the book of John 17. And verses 20 to 23. Verses 20 to 23. The Lord prayed. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Brother, we have the love of God. We have the promise of God. We have our representative, the beloved Son of God, seated with the Father. What else? What else do you want? Sure promises. You are never alone. So we mustn't entertain too much fear. We must trust the Lord. Just think about it. If only we followed Christ's command to love God and love our fellow human beings, the results would be great. In fact, the world would be a great place if we had just follow Christ's command to love God and love our fellow human beings. There would have been no hatred, no anger. If you love someone, you don't entertain anger. You just forgive, isn't it? No fear. There will be no refugee problems, because nobody will be fleeing from anybody. No mass drowning in the Mediterranean. This year alone, it's believed about 4,000 or so people have drowned, trying to reach safety elsewhere. If we love each other, there will be no more terrorist attacks, no fear to walk in the streets. Do you know most old people don't like to walk in the streets, even during daytime, fear of attacks? and it's happening. So some of us don't go out at all in the evening. I'm one. You don't know who is coming from behind you and their intentions. If we had love for each other, there will be no fear to walk in the streets day or night. And there is a lot to gain if we just follow Christ's command. Love God. Love our fellow human beings. Where is love in the world we live in today? And where is the Christian love that should light the whole world, this gloomy world? We are called the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Are we? Are we showing the light? Are we seasoning the world? Romans 13. Romans 13. Romans 13 and verses 8 to 10. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I've always said that truly, God created the universe. I'm not a scientist, and I know and I believe in my heart that God created the universe. And for this world, you can look back to all the leaders we have had. No one could promise wholeheartedly peace for his people. But Christ is known as the Prince of Peace. And peace and prosperity will have no end in his kingdom. This is why you have this great promise that if you have Christ, you have life. If you don't have Christ, you have no life indeed. 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. And verses 5 to 6. 1 Timothy 1, verses 5 to 6. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. Meaningless talk. Love conquers all. If we have love, we have life. We don't have it, there is no future. Christian love today is very scarce. In these days, wherever Christians meet, wherever we meet, due to doctrinal or worship differences or knowledge of scripture, we as Christians dazzle each other with our light. We blind each other. Or as the late John Halford said, we produce so much heat, that is arguments, hatred, disagreements, without any Christian love. Is that true with us? Do we generate more heat? Do we dazzle others with our knowledge? Do we not practice humility and exalt each other rather. Where is the Christian love that can teach others who are not in the faith that we have something special? Love for God, love for our fellow human beings. You see, all the fears we have, all the violence and hatred, all the refugee problems, all could be summed up in Christ's command to us. Love God, love your neighbor. If we love our neighbor, we will not hurt them, we will not hate them, and we will not cause them any harm. So, brethren, let's remember, the world keeps on rolling. There is a lot happening on the social media. The turn of the century, we thought it's going to be a happy place, a perfect place. Travel made easy. If you are in Europe, you could travel with your ID card alone, as they do in France and other places. But what happened? 2001, 9/11. Since then, traveling outside the country is so difficult. You have to lose your belts and your shoes and empty your pockets. It hasn't been easy. The fear factor is there all over the world. There is so much suffering. We need change indeed, but not a human change. We need the return of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians, this is the final scripture, 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are Christ's ambassadors. That's the word I want us to remember. If we cannot change the world, God can. Let us get on our knees as often as possible and pray for our country and for the world we live in. We are called ambassadors of Christ. We believe in God's kingdom. That is the kingdom of peace, which will fill the whole world with Christ as our glorious ruler, whose reign is not going to be 4 years or 8 years, but forever and ever. So, in all things, brethren, let us look forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful ruler.